It is Friday. We are close to the weekend. Many of you may have already started your weekend. Let's hope the Braves have not checked out for this weekend. They need to check in as the Phillies are in town. We're going to talk with Grant McCauley coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Last night was just ugly. And you lose 4-0. You don't score. You don't draw any walks. Zero. And there's just no timely hitting whatsoever. Grant Holmes allowed 2 earned runs on 6 hits. He struck out 6, but he walked 3 in 5 innings. And, you know, the Braves went 3-for-30 at the plate. That's the problem. So when we talk about the fundamental problem, and I asked Mike as we started the show, are you ready to fire sale it? And you said, sir.
I'm going to wait. I'm going to hold judgment on the fire sale till after this series with the Phillies. How about this homestand? How's
okay.
That?
Okay.
I'll give you one more homestand for the Braves, and that's it.
Okay. Because I am right now, and I don't know if it's the frustration that has been building. I keep waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and it just hasn't taken off as I thought it might.
Right.
I kept thinking, and I keep thinking that Ronald Acuña is going to be the spark. What more can he do?
Because he's been crushing it. Now, I will say this. If you're looking for a sign, God, give me a sign. You've got some winnable games. Now, again, who's winnable when you're 7 games under 500, right? But after Philly, you get the Angels. Baltimore, the A's. I mean, you know, I know we don't respect those. And I don't respect those. But, I mean, I would think you'd have a chance to maybe please Carl. Find a way to get on some kind of a heater. But how many have we been saying this all season? I mean, I'd like to give you a new, fresh angle on this. A's are 16 games out in their division. They're 17 games under 500. The Orioles are 12 games under 500.
Mm-hmm.
St. Louis is over 500. They're pretty good. And obviously we know what Philly is. But, I mean, you'd like to think you could at least make some hay in this interleague play you're going to have later in this homestand.
You would hope. At this point, where we are, I'd love to tell you, oh, the Braves will smoke these guys. There's nothing that I'm willing to give this team right now because of our inconsistency. Matt Olson, by the way, the only good news, his on-base streak, 27 games, his longest active streak in baseball. Let's hope that continues. But we're going to have to do more against this Phillies team as we go into this series this weekend, 10 games back. You guys can let us know what you think, 404-726-0929. And maybe you're ready to fire sell it. I don't know. Maybe you're fed up with the inconsistencies that this team has shown. Or maybe you're like Mike, oh, I'll give it one more weekend. You know what that's like? Oh, I'll give it just another try.
No, it's like the girlfriend that's always, you know, doing stuff or reverse it. Or the boyfriend for the ladies out there that's always running around. You're like, ah, I'll give him one more chance. He's going to change. But yeah, this team can't hit. I mean, Money Harris's entire approach to the plate is something that's got to be deconstructed, if we're honest. You know, it's finally coming home to where it's like, wow, this guy really doesn't have an idea of what he's trying to do at the plate right now.
Yep.
Because the pressure adds another element to it. We've talked about, you know, I love Drake Baldwin. Drake Baldwin's cooled off too, and I understand. Yes, I'm still willing to shop Murph, but you're looking at the pitching, starting pitching issues. You know, you assume that Chris Sale is going to come back and hit the ground running. That might take a little bit longer than expected.
Yeah, it might. Either way, this is our lot in life right now, and we have to deal with it. By the way, I mentioned Acuña. Since his return, guys, 369 average, 485 slugging, 658 on base.
And on the All-Star team now. Wow. Made the first, obviously the first cut.
He should be. I mean, like, seriously, he's been the hottest thing. And then 9 home runs while also posting 2+2 wins above replacement, if you're into those things.
Mm.
The nerds, as we like to say.
Nerds!
Want to lay out all these numbers.
Well, Shut up, nerd!
What about his wins above replacement?
Go outside, nerd.
That's good, too. So whatever stat that you want to look at, whatever metric, Ronald Acuña is absolutely killing it right now. All right, more on the Braves coming up, guys. Right now, though, let's get to 4th and 1.
It's time for 4th and 1 on Dukes and Bell.
First down, let's get this right now.
All the NFL news and notes you need as we drive for the touchdown on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now, Mike, somebody hit me up yesterday and said, I heard y'all Dukes talking about Justin Tucker. Y'all clowning now. But if Koo screws up, y'all going to be calling him later this year. I'm like, whoa.
No, I don't think that's possible. Well, first of all, we got the kid from Germany.
That's right.
We have Krieg.
That's correct.
Krieg, the kicker. So, homeboy from Germany is going to bring home the bacon, baby, if Koo can't get it together.
I just, yeah, but that's like, I said, slow down. First of all, Justin Tucker suspended through November. I don't.
And he's persona non grata. It's one thing if you get some creepy stuff and you got the civil suits, but he couldn't do his job last year, Carl, to the point where it was costing them games.
Wonder why, Mike. but yeah, I don't foresee that happening. And
by the way, Dominic just corrected me.
What?
Krieg is not bringing home the bacon, he's bringing home the schnitzel.
This is true. Good call. That's right. But I don't think that's going to happen. I'm talking about the Falcons potentially calling Justin Tucker. Listen, there may be a team that does. Listen, field goal kickers, we know this. They screw things up. We weren't killing coup until last year. He missed the most field goals of anybody in the league. It's just what it is. But I found that interesting as that guy was talking to us yesterday about the Justin Tucker situation. Aaron Rodgers, guys, is confident the Steelers are going to re-sign T.J. Watt.
How does he know that?
I don't know.
He's been there a week, and T.J.'s going to be, like, maybe with the Steelers. See, this goes back to Aaron Rodgers and all the crap we talk about when he plays the victim of being bullied and no one knows what's going on in his personal. How do you know T.J. Watt's contract status? You just signed there. You're going to be gone. You basically said you're there for 1 year anyway. And he's gone. So how did I guess you're all the Hawaska makes him clairvoyant, yes. Carl, like he's an yes. X-Man. He can read T.J. Watt's brain about what he's going to do with his contract.
I know. I don't know, Mike. We used to say, what are you new here? And in many cases, that was the situation when people always jumped in. Oh, that won't happen. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know how Aaron knows. I have no idea. But he's confident that they're going to re-sign.
Yeah, I've been in the darkness. Well, you got to go in there.
Maybe that's how he knows.
Hey, look. Now, again, we're paid to have an opinion. Hey, maybe he'll do talk radio after he retires because he's got an opinion on everything.
Do you think he's got one of those dark rooms in his house? Oh, wait, it's a closet.
Well, is it a hyperbaric chamber? Because almost everybody's got big money's got that now in sports.
Well, that's true. I'm just wondering, like, when he has those moments, I'm going into the dark room. And he just goes in that area in his house. I don't know. Right. I mean, he had a special area built. It's not like he couldn't afford it. And by the way, what would that look like?
What was that movie?
Because a closet wouldn't do it, right?
What was the movie with Altered States?
Ooh, good call.
Here's a deep dive for you guys. You ever seen that one, Dominic?
Good call.
Yeah, Dominic's too young for that one. You have to go find it. It was a John C. Lilly book, and I don't know. I went down this rabbit hole back in the day. It was John Hurt plays it. It's a Ken Russell movie, so he always does good stuff. But basically, the guy's in a sensory deprivation chamber, and all the crazy things that come off of that, and these experiments that he's doing. And maybe that's why Aaron is so messed up.
I don't know. That's a good preference. But yeah, I just wondered about what the dark room looks like at his house. He went to that was out somewhere in Oregon, if I remember correctly, right?
Yeah, they said it some people said it kind of looks like a hobbit hole.
Really?
Lord of the Rings, the way you kind of just go in.
And they lock you in?
Yeah, they literally just lock you in.
No, y'all ain't locking me in.
wait, you mean like young Frankenstein? Whatever happens, do not let me out of this room. Whatever I say, do not let me out. God, let me out of here!
Yeah, you're not letting me out. You're not locking me in there. Right. Would you go into somewhere where they locked you in?
No way, Jose.
Huh?
Uh-uh. No.
I don't like that.
I like my freedom. No way.
Do like one of those escape room type deals?
No, I don't think that either. I've heard they're fun.
Dude, actually, I won't do a cruise because I don't like being told where to go.
I've heard those escape rooms are fun, and that's I'm a little bit claustrophobic, man.
Are you really?
Yeah. Okay. Let the elevator stop. You want to see me act up? Let the elevator just jump a little bit. You know these elevators up here sometimes act up.
I got stuck. What building is that in Manhattan? New York Life Building. My dad and I.
Not funny.
Yeah, about 2 hours. I had to wait for them to go. Yeah, man. Get the elevator company. It was kind of, you know. And my dad. And the funny thing is, we're going to go to have dinner before we're going to the ball game. I'm like, ready to eat my dad. Mm-hmm. My dad was joking around. It's like, we're going to wind up like those guys in the Andes. Have to eat each other.
About. Yeah, exactly. If I have to eat you, son, I love you.
What?
About 3 years ago, we were down in Sarasota, and I'm going up in an elevator. I'm bringing stuff up. We're on vacation. And the doors, I should have known.
Right.
The doors closed really slow, and one elevator was out of service. So there was a sign on one of the elevators that literally said, not working, out of service.
Right.
And you're like, this huge condo or whatever it was, and you're like, one elevator? Okay, whatever. And I get in, and I bring all the stuff in the elevator, and I'm on the elevator, and Trent and her friends are already upstairs, and my wife's upstairs, and the door's like,
oh, wow.
Slowly, like, just, I mean, like, you know, they're not moving. And they close, and I'm not thinking about it. And then the elevator's like, just barely moving.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going, I'm only going to the third floor. This 1 minute goes by.
Uh-oh.
2 minutes goes by.
Are you starting to sweat at this point?
Sweat. Bro, I'm freaking out. I'm looking at my phone. I'm like, God, I'm about to be trapped in this elevator. It's hot. I'm like, there's one elevator working. I should have known. I should have took the stairs. I'm in my head. I'm like, I shouldn't have gotten on this elevator. 3 minutes goes by. I'm not gone to the third floor yet.
I mean, so is there a sense of motion?
It's moving, but it's not moving.
Okay.
And this is what I think brought this on. And now you got me sharing. I'm going to share. Finally, I get to the third floor. The elevator stops. My heart is... But the doors haven't opened. So I'm now like...
Are you pressing the bell? Ding! Ding!
Mike, I'm about to press that call button, right. And I'm hoping, does that even work?
Is there anyone to answer your call?
Because have you ever gotten in an elevator and wondered if the call button really works? Like, is somebody really going to answer me? So I'm literally like, I'm about to push this button. Doors, I'm waiting for the doors to open. Y'all, I cannot tell you, after about 5 minutes in this elevator, three floors, the doors open. I ran out! And I'm literally pulling bags from the outside of the elevator so I don't have to get back in the elevator. And I get back to the condo, and Michelle's like, oh, how was it? Well, what took you so long? I said, I'm not riding the elevator the entire time we're here. You're going to take the stairs every day,
Watch this all day. Right.
And then we find out, oh, yeah, because I told the attendant, like, hey, that elevator took like 5 minutes to get three floors. He goes, yeah, we've got to do some work on it. The next day, out of service. I do not like... those situations.
Yeah, I mean, it's happened. Like I said, that time when I was a kid, it was kind of exciting and fun, you know, because I was looking at my dad.
And exciting!
Well, because when I was 78. My dad, we were in the city, and I want to say it was the New York Life building, one of the taller buildings in the city's downtown. And it was an old elevator. I mean, it had press all the buttons and all. I mean, it was old school, the brass and everything. And there was just two women and me and my dad. And that's why my dad's like joking around, like, well, hopefully it won't be like that film with those guys in the Andes. We'll have to get some barbecue sauce. We'll have to eat each other. And I look at my dad. I go, where are we going to get the barbecue sauce? It was a joke.
Exactly.
And the women. So this one lady starts getting a little antsy. Same thing. Get a little antsy. And it's hot. It's hot town. Summer in the city. It's not exactly pleasant in the elevator. And we were in there for 2 hours, man. And then eventually fire department, the whole shebang. So, I mean, I've been in the situation. I was taking the cue from my old man who was trying to keep it cool.
Oh, yeah. Well.
But the women were starting to wig out.
Yeah. And I got to be honest. Hope you don't have to pee.
Right.
Let's just be, I mean, like, you start to get nervous. Things start happening with your body. You're like, oh, I got to go. Where are you going? Anywho. I don't know how Aaron Rodgers knows they're going to resign. We were talking about the dark room. I'm not down.
That's
for
how
it.
We got. Yeah. So now we know. If you really want to mess with Carl, man, get him in. How do you?
No. Don't mess
but
with
then
me.
How do you even get in that little service elevator that we take in the building?
The service elevator is the bigger elevator of the ones that we take.
No, the little one. The one that I.
Get in when somebody else gets in with me.
Okay, because you and I have we have a bunch of elevators here at County Square. There's
one. Notice sometimes I'll take that back elevator. Here's a guy. I trust that one.
Okay. Hey, one football note before we wrap it up. We talked about this on Tuesday's show. Carl brought this up on Wednesday down at State Farm pre-draft about finding out that Kyle Pitts was not at the tight end U that was held up in Nashville and all the festivities and everybody who went. And Charlie Warner did go, one of our tight ends with the Falcons. Did come out after we were off the air on Wednesday that, he was at last year's tight end.
Whoop-dee-doo!
The problem is, and this gets back to the bigger question, whether you like Kyle Pitts, whether you think it's fair or unfair, how he's been used, his usage rate, his commitment to football, wherever you fall, he's not healthy enough to be at the tight end U. So now here we are. It was mini camp was, what, 10 days, 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
So now here's 3 weeks of the summer. This guy can't do stuff. So,
also I just work here.
We've heard.
But this goes back to the bigger picture. Regardless of whether you, as all those things I just said, if you can't stay healthy, you can't help my football team. So is he going to be ready to rock and roll in August?
I don't know. Look,
let alone September?
I don't know. When I got word from my people up there in Nashville, hey, your boy's not here. And I was like, ha, ha, ha. Funny, not funny.
Mm.
And last year, Mike, the reason why I say whoop-de-doo is because, let's be honest, last year's gone now. There's nothing he can do about last year's numbers. We're looking forward to him being a great performer this year and something that we at least think that might have helped, might have maybe given him an edge,
right?
Might have maybe helped him pick the brain of some of the great tight ends in this league and say, you know what, I'm going to use that tip when we play this year. He didn't get that.
Did Keanu Reeves and Jeff Daniels come in the elevator to help you out when you're in there?
Okay, you know what? That's not funny.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
That's not funny. You're not claustrophobic like that?
I'm going to drop the elevator.
You're not claustrophobic
no,
like that?
No, it didn't bother me. No.
Yeah. Remember the time...
You should have seen my apartment in New York.
remember the time right. when I came to your place and you were in Midtown and you're like, go check out the balcony. I was like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, we were on the...
Right?
26th floor.
Right?
You would not go to the edge.
I was like, nah, I'm good.
But that's a fear of heights. That's not claustrophobia. It's a separate, that's a separate phobia.
No, it's the idea that the damn door behind me is going to close and I'm going to be on this little balcony space. All right, we're coming back, man. Mark Romani is going to join us.
Oh, man.
The NWO. We'll talk about this incredible book he's got out. He's got a book tour. He's going to be signing here in the ATL tomorrow as well. We'll tell you all about it next. It is Friday. We are close to the weekend. Many of you may have already started your weekend. Let's hope the Braves have not checked out for this weekend. They need to check in as the Phillies are in town. We're going to talk with Grant McCauley coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Last night was just ugly. And you lose 4-0. You don't score. You don't draw any walks. Zero. And there's just no timely hitting whatsoever. Grant Holmes allowed 2 earned runs on 6 hits. He struck out 6, but he walked 3 and 5 innings. And, you know, the Braves went 3 for 30 at the plate. That's the problem. So when we talk about the fundamental problem, and I asked Mike as we started the show, are you ready to fire sale it? And you said, sir.
I'm going to wait. I'm going to hold judgment on the fire sale till after this series with the Phillies. How about this homestand? How's
okay.
That?
Okay.
I'll give you one more. I'll give you one more homestand for the Braves, and that's it.
Okay. Because I am right now, and I don't know if it's the frustration that has been building. I keep waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and it just hasn't taken off as I thought it might.
Right.
I kept thinking, and I keep thinking that Ronald Acuña is going to be the spark. What more can he do?
Because he's been crushing it. Now, I will say this. If you're looking for a sign, God, give me a sign. You've got some winnable games. Now, again, who's winnable when you're 7 games under 500, right? But after Philly, you get the Angels. Baltimore, the A's. I mean, you know, I know we don't respect those. And I don't respect those. But, I mean, I would think you'd have a chance to maybe please Carl. Find a way to get on some kind of a heater. But how many have we been saying this all season? I mean, I'd like to give you a new, fresh angle on this. A's are 16 games out in their division. They're 17 games under 500. The Orioles are 12 games under 500.
Mm-hmm.
St. Louis is over 500. They're pretty good. And obviously we know what Philly is. But, I mean, you'd like to think you could at least make some hay in this interleague play you're going to have later in this homestand.
You would hope. At this point, where we are, I'd love to tell you, oh, the Braves will smoke these guys. There's nothing that I'm willing to give this team right now because of our inconsistency. Matt Olson, by the way, the only good news, his on-base streak, 27 games, his longest active streak in baseball. Let's hope that continues. But we're going to have to do more against this Phillies team as we go into this series this weekend, 10 games back. You guys can let us know what you think, 404-726-0929. And maybe you're ready to fire sell it. I don't know. Maybe you're fed up with the inconsistencies that this team has shown. Or maybe you're like, Mike, oh, I'll give it one more weekend. You know what that's like? Oh, I'll give it just another try.
No, it's like the girlfriend that's always, you know, doing stuff or reverse it. Or the boyfriend for the ladies out there that's always running around. You're like, ah, I'll give him one more chance. He's going to change. But, yeah, this team can't hit. I mean, Money Harris's entire approach to the plate is something that's got to be deconstructed, if we're honest. You know, it's finally coming home to where it's like, wow. This guy really doesn't have an idea of what he's trying to do at the plate right now.
Yep.
Because the pressure adds another element to it. We've talked about, you know, I love Drake Baldwin. Drake Baldwin's cooled off too. And I understand, yes, I'm still willing to shop Murph. But you're looking at the pitching, starting pitching issues. You know, you assume that Chris Sale is going to come back and hit the ground running. That might take a little bit longer than expected.
Yeah, it might. Either way, this is our lot in life right now, and we have to deal with it. By the way, I mentioned Acuña. Since his return, guys, 369 average, 485 slugging, 658 on base.
And on the All-Star team now. Whoa. Made the first, obviously the first cut.
He should be. I mean, like, seriously, he's been the hottest thing. And then 9 home runs while also posting a 2+2 wins above replacement, if you're into those things. The nerds, as we like to say.
Nerds!
Want to lay out all these numbers.
Well, Shut up, nerd!
What about his wins above replacement?
Go outside, nerd.
That's good, too. So whatever stat that you want to look at, whatever metric, Ronald Acuña is absolutely killing it right now. All right, more on the Braves coming up, guys. Right now, though, let's get to 4th and 1. Now, Mike, somebody hit me up yesterday and said, I heard y'all Dukes talking about Justin Tucker. Y'all clowning now. But if Koo screws up, y'all going to be calling him later this year. I'm like, whoa.
No, I don't think that's possible. First off, we got the kid from Germany.
That's right.
We have Krieg.
That's correct.
Krieg, the kicker. So, homeboy from Germany is going to bring home the bacon, baby, if Koo can't get it together.
But that's like, I said, slow down. First of all, Justin Tucker suspended through November. I don't.
And he's persona non grata. It's one thing if you get some creepy stuff and you got the civil suits, but he couldn't do his job last year, Carl, to the point where it was costing them games.
Wonder why, Mike. but yeah, I don't foresee that happening. And
by the way, Dominic just corrected me.
What?
Krieg is not bringing home the bacon, he's bringing home the schnitzel.
This is true. Good call. That's right. But I don't think that's going to happen. I'm talking about the Falcons potentially calling Justin Tucker. Listen, there may be a team that does. Listen, field goal kickers, we know this, they screw things up. We weren't killing Koo until last year. He missed the most field goals of anybody in the league. It's just what it is. But I found that interesting as that guy was talking to us yesterday about the Justin Tucker situation. Mm. Aaron Rodgers, guys, is confident the Steelers are going to re-sign T.J. Watt.
How does he know that?
I don't know.
He's been there a week, and T.J.'s going to be, like, maybe with the Steelers. This goes back to Aaron Rodgers and all the crap we talk about when he plays the victim of being bullied and no one knows what's going on in his personal. How do you know T.J. Watt's contract status? You just signed there. You're going to be gone. You basically said you're there for 1 year anyway, and he's gone. So I guess all the Hawaska makes him clairvoyant,
yes.
Carl, like he's an X-Man.
Yes.
He can read T.J. Watt's brain about what he's going to do with his contract.
I know. I don't know, Mike. We used to say, what, are you new here? And in many cases, that was the situation when people always jumped in. Oh, that won't happen. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know how Aaron knows. I have no idea. But he's confident that they're going to re-sign.
Yeah, I've been in the darkness. You got to go in there.
Maybe. But that's how he knows.
Hey, look. Now, again, we're paid to have an opinion. Hey, maybe he'll do talk radio after he retires because he's got an opinion on everything.
Do you think he's got one of those dark rooms in his house? Oh, wait, it's a closet.
Well, is it a hyperbaric chamber? Because almost everybody's got big money's got that now in sports.
Well, that's true. I'm just wondering, like, when he has those moments, I'm going into the dark room. And he just goes in that area in his house. I don't know. Right. I mean, he had a special area built. It's not like he couldn't afford it. And by the way, what would that look like?
What was that movie?
Because a closet wouldn't do it, right?
What was the movie with Altered States?
Ooh, good call.
Here's a deep dive for you guys. You ever seen that one, Dominic?
Good call.
It's, Dominic's too young for that one. You have to go find it. It was a John C. Lilly book, and I went down this rabbit hole back in the day. It was John Hurt plays it. It's a Ken Russell movie, so he always does good stuff. But basically, the guy's in a sensory deprivation chamber, and all the crazy things that come off of that, and these experiments that he's doing. And maybe that's why Aaron is so messed up.
I don't know. That's a good preference. But yeah, I just wondered about what the dark room looks like at his house. He went to that. That was out somewhere in Oregon, if I remember correctly, right?
Yeah, they said it. Some people said it kind of looks like a hobbit hole.
Really?
Lord of the Rings, the way you kind of just go in.
And they lock you in?
Yeah, they literally just lock you in.
No, y'all ain't locking me in.
wait, you mean like Young Frankenstein? Whatever happens, do not let me out of this room. Whatever I say, do not let me out. God, let me out of here!
Yeah, you're not letting me out. You're not locking me in there. Right. Would you go into somewhere where they locked you in?
No way, Jose.
Huh? Uh-uh.
No.
I don't like that.
I like my freedom. No way.
You do like one of those escape room type deals?
No, I don't dig that either. I've heard they're fun.
I won't do a cruise because I don't like being told where to go.
I've heard those escape rooms are fun, and that's I'm a little bit claustrophobic, man.
Are you really?
Yeah. Okay. Let the elevator stop. You want to see me act up? Let the elevator just jump a little bit. You know these elevators up here sometimes act up.
I got stuck. What building is that in Manhattan? New York Life Building. My dad and I.
Not funny.
Yeah, about 2 hours. Had to wait for them to go. Yeah, man. Get the elevator company. It was kind of, and my dad. And the funny thing is, we're going to go to have dinner before we're going to the ball game. Like, ready to eat my dad. My dad was joking around. It's like, we're going to wind up like those guys in the Andes. Have to eat each other.
exactly. If I have to eat you, son, I'm
like, what?
About 3 years ago, we were down in Sarasota, and I'm going up in an elevator. I'm bringing stuff up. We're on vacation. And the doors, I should have known.
Right.
The doors closed really slow, and one elevator was out of service. So there was a sign on one of the elevators that literally said, not working, out of service.
Right.
And you're like, this huge condo or whatever it was, and you're like, one elevator? Okay, whatever. And I get in, and I bring all the stuff in the elevator, and I'm on the elevator, and Trent and her friends are already upstairs, and my wife's upstairs, and the door's like,
oh, wow.
Slowly, they're not moving. And they close, and I'm not thinking about it. And then the elevator's like, just barely moving.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going, I'm only going to the third floor. This 1 minute goes by.
Uh-oh.
2 minutes goes by.
Are you starting to sweat at this point?
Sweat. Bro, I'm freaking out. I'm looking at my phone. I'm like, God, I'm about to be trapped in this elevator. It's hot. I'm like, there's one elevator working. I should have known. I should have took the stairs. I'm in my head. I'm like, I shouldn't have gotten on this elevator. 3 minutes goes by. I'm not gone to the third floor yet.
I mean, so is there a sense of motion?
It's moving, but it's not moving.
Okay.
And this is what I think brought this on. And now you got me sharing. I'm going to share. Finally, I get to the third floor. The elevator stops. My heart is... But the doors haven't opened. So I'm now like...
Are you pressing the bell? Ding! Ding!
Mike, I'm about to press that call button, right. And I'm hoping, does that even work?
Is there anyone to answer your call?
Because
is the question.
Have you ever gotten an elevator and wondered if the call button really works? Like, is somebody really going to answer me? So I'm literally like, I'm about to push this button. Doors, I'm waiting for the doors to open. Y'all, I cannot tell you, after about 5 minutes in this elevator, three floors, the doors open. I ran out! And I'm literally pulling bags from the outside of the elevator so I don't have to get back in the elevator. And I get back to the condo, and Michelle's like, oh, how was it? Well, what took you so long? I said, I'm not riding the elevator the entire time we're here. You're going to take the stairs every day,
watch
all
this.
Day. Right. And then we find out, oh, yeah, because I told the attendant, like, hey, that elevator took like 5 minutes to get three floors. He goes, yeah, we've got to do some work on it. The next day, out of service. I do not like those situations.
Yeah, I mean, it's happened. Like I said, that time when I was a kid, it was kind of exciting and fun, you know, because I was looking at my dad.
And
my
exciting!
Well, because when I was 78. My dad, we were in the city, and I want to say it was the New York Life building, one of the taller buildings in the city's downtown. And it was an old elevator. I mean, it had the, press all the buttons and all. I mean, it was old school, the brass and everything. And there was just two women and me and my dad. And that's why my dad's like joking around, like, well, hopefully it won't be like that film with those guys in the Andes. We'll have to get some barbecue sauce. We'll have to eat each other. And I look at my dad. I go, where are we going to get the barbecue sauce? It was a joke.
Exactly.
And the women. So this one lady starts getting a little, antsy. Same thing. Get a little antsy. And it's hot. It's hot town. Summer in the city. It's not exactly pleasant in the elevator. And we were in there for 2 hours, man. And then eventually fire department, the whole shebang. So, I mean, I've been in the situation. I was taking the cue from my old man who was trying to keep it cool.
Oh, yeah, well.
But look, the women were starting to wig out.
Yeah, and I got to be honest. Hope you don't have to pee.
Right.
Let's just be, I mean, like, you start to get nervous. Things start happening with your body. You're like, oh, I got to go. Where are you going? Anywho. I don't know how Aaron Rodgers knows they're going to resign. We were talking about the dark room. I'm not down.
That's
for
how
it.
We got. Yeah. So now we know. If you really want to mess with Carl, man, get him in. How do you?
No. Don't mess
but
with.
But then
me.
How do you even get in that little service elevator that we take in the building? That
the service elevator is the bigger elevator of the ones that we take.
No, the little one. The little one. The one that I. The
I'll
one.
Get in when somebody else gets in with me.
Okay, because you and I have a bunch of elevators here at County Square. There's
you
one.
Notice sometimes I'll take that back elevator. Here's a guy. I trust that one.
Okay. Hey, one football note before we wrap it up. We talked about this on Tuesday's show. Carl brought this up on Wednesday down at State Farm pre-draft about finding out that Kyle Pitts was not at the tight end U that was held up in Nashville and all the festivities and everybody who went. And Charlie Warner did go, one of our tight ends with the Falcons. Did come out after we were off the air on Wednesday that he was at last year's tight end.
Whoop-dee-doo!
The problem is, and this gets back to the bigger question, whether you like Kyle Pitts, whether you think it's fair or unfair, how he's been used, his usage rate, his commitment to football, wherever you fall, he's not healthy enough to be at the tight end U. So now here we are. It was mini camp was, what, 10 days, 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
So now here's 3 weeks of the summer. This guy can't do stuff. So,
also I just work here.
We've heard.
But this goes back to the bigger picture, regardless of whether you, as all those things I just said, if you can't stay healthy, you can't help my football team. So is he going to be ready to rock and roll in August?
I don't know. Look,
let alone September?
I don't know. What I got word from my people up there in Nashville, hey, your boy's not here. And I was like, ha, ha, ha. Funny, not funny.
Mm.
And last year, Mike, the reason why I say whoop-de-doo is because, let's be honest, last year's gone now. There's nothing he can do about last year's numbers. We're looking forward to him being a great performer this year and something that we at least think that might have helped might have maybe given him an edge.
Right.
Might have maybe helped him pick the brain of some of the great tight ends in this league and say, you know what, I'm going to use that tip when we play this year. He didn't get that.
Did Keanu Reeves and Jeff Daniels come in the elevator to help you out when you're in there?
Okay, you know what? That's not funny.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
That's not funny. You're not claustrophobic like
I'm
that?
I'm going to drop the elevator.
You're not claustrophobic
no,
like that?
No, it didn't bother me. No, no.
Remember the time...
You should have seen my apartment in New York.
remember the time right. when I came to your place and you were in Midtown and you're like, go check out the balcony. I was like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, we were on the...
Right?
26th floor.
Right?
You would not go to the edge.
I was like, nah, I'm good.
But that's a fear of heights. That's not claustrophobia. It's a separate, that's a separate phobia.
No, it's the idea that the damn door behind me is going to close and I'm going to be on this little balcony space. All right, we're coming back, man. Mark Romani is going to join us.
Oh, man.
The NWO. We'll talk about this incredible book he's got out. He's got a book tour. He's going to be signing here in the ATL tomorrow as well. We'll tell you all about it next. I like it. I like it, Dominator.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, man, coming up, Mike's got some guide talk. We'll talk some college football as well. Catching up with Coonan, as we like to say, here on the show on Fridays. Normally, B-Mac stops by. He is out this week, so we'll catch up with him next week. And the closer we get to NFL camps, guys, 4th of July next week, Mike, and then literally the countdown is on. But the countdown is also going to be on for the All-Star Week here in the ATL. And there are a lot of things that will be going on with our radio station, guys. We're going to be all over the place. Getting you ready for the Major League Baseball All-Star Week, and it is that. I mean, it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Right. Obviously, we talk about the lead-up to the game. And Mike mentioned it earlier, Ronald Acuna. He's there. We'd love to you know, say, hey, some of our other guys, to be able to see them and support them at the All-Star game with it being here in Atlanta. But Acuna, to me, is just a no-brainer.
Right. Now, Matt Olson, statistically, certainly the way he's got things going. But again, when you're on a team which is kind of, unfortunately, you know, just kind of monkeying around and not under 500, not really a contender in the minds of maybe fans outside of Atlanta, maybe that's part of the reason Matt's not getting the love. But, you know, Freddie Freeman's a brand. There's other players that are brands out there that Matt's just not getting that juice. Austin Riley not having an all-star campaign. If we're honest, had Chris Sale maybe not gotten injured, maybe. But right now, Acuna makes sense. Ozuna did cool off, too. We talked about him as a DH probably being the most likely guy.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. We've got a lot to get to, man. Unfortunately, the Braves didn't came up. They came up short last night. It was weird because, again, the bullpen for the Mets, you know, they've been, in my opinion, overused. I mean, over the last few days, and then you go to them, and all of a sudden these guys come in, and they're able to shut us down last night. More on that to get to here on the show as well. Right now, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man.
All right, guys. Happy Friday. We made it to another weekend. And, man, this week actually seems like it went by fast. But it's because I get to hang out with the three of you each and every day.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. Yeah,
listen, my dad taught me well. And when it comes down to, you know. No, I'm just kidding. Let me stop. All right, guys. Let's start off with a little NASCAR. After all, we do have a big race right here in our own backyard.
Quaker State 400 Saturday night.
That's right. Shouts out to Squid Billy, Bo Morgan, and Mike Johnson. Allie, they're all hanging out down at the track. But I thought this was a pretty good one here since, again, NASCAR is here. So it was reported that NASCAR's Amazon Prime races took a small ratings hit in their stretch of games that were over on Amazon in comparison to their normal window. So on the Prime races were 2.16 million across the five races that they carried. That's 15% down from last year's window. However, one thing that was positive was that their young audience skewed younger,
right,
with a median age of 56.1 compared to 62.8 on the linear TV broadcast this season, which is Fox and FS1. And then their 18 to 34 demo was up 36%. So, Yeah Man, No Man, NASCAR may be trending in the right direction.
You know, it's funny. I've not seen some of the races on Amazon, but I've heard nothing but good things. Matter of fact, folks actually preferring the Amazon broadcast, Carl, to what they've seen on some of the others, which kind of got a bit stale with some of the announcers. So I think that's great. And yes, like any other sport, man, younger demos are the key. Just like important for Dukes and Bell to have 18 to 34. Hi, guys. To keep share the word. Tell your friends, because that's what keeps you in the business. And that's great. And the racing, again, the rivalries, the vibe, you know, sometimes, you know, the storylines, you need to have that develop. And there are some guys that just don't like each other, as we found out a few weeks ago at Echo Park Speedway.
Mm-hmm. You need rivalries. I don't think we have enough of those. A lot of the drivers are the same dudes.
Right.
And that's not a bad thing, but We need to get to know their personalities, right?
They need to have personalities to get to know. That's part of the problem.
We need to get to know their personality. And I think as that happens, these numbers will get better. Listen, you can be an F1 fan and a NASCAR fan.
Right.
It doesn't mean that you hate NASCAR because you like F1 or you like F1 and you hate NASCAR. Vice versa. They're different. Mm-hmm. They truly are. And I just feel like this trend, what you just laid out there, NASCAR is trending in the right direction. And by the way, go back to 2020. I know it's 5 years ago. It was like, I don't know if this is gonna last. NASCAR was trying to change its image.
And one of the first sports that actually came back, remember?
And incorporate, right?
Right. Right.
More people by saying, hey, we are a sport that wants everybody. This is not exclusive to just this group.
Right.
I think that was important, but I also think the product is what sells and the driver's personalities. That's really what this is about.
That's the beef, and we've talked about it. We mentioned it. We're over at Echo Park Automotive. We'll be at the race. By the way, you got the Xfinity Series tonight. That'll kick off at 7:30, and the big race tomorrow night at 7. And again, Bowen, you mentioned Bo and Mike will be doing the show, a special pregame. A pre-race, live from the infield, so check that out
right
here on 92.9. But just the bigger personalities, I hate this day to have that same argument we have about 90s NBA, but they're just bigger personalities. Cars look better. You know, just everything just seemed to have a little more juice. They're trying to find that combination right now with NASCAR. That's why I give NASCAR credit, Carl, for throwing stuff up on the wall and see what works.
See what sticks.
Doing the dirt track at Bristol, you know, doing the race at the LA Coliseum.
Right.
Trying to come up with new stuff.
More night races.
Right.
Yeah.
So, in kind of, Carl, you mentioned this, so would you say that just it's safe to say that when it comes to the personalities, it's kind of what golf is going through?
Yes.
Bingo.
Very much so.
Yes. Big time. Big time.
Gotcha.
It's not that the guys aren't good.
Right.
It's not that they can't play.
They're just not relatable.
They're interchangeable. They're all the same guy.
Yeah.
Yes. And I do think this is why there is this attraction to a guy like Bryson DeChambeau when he plays the majors.
Right.
Right? DeChambeau was on the PGA Tour. He has a bigger personality, a bigger draw.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, absolutely. That is the connection, or at least the example that I would use. But the sport is trending in the right direction.
Good deal, good deal. All right. Texas Tech, it looks like their move to the Pac-12 is expected to be finalized at some point. That will make them a 3-team conference.
Wow.
Who's moving?
Texas Tech.
From Lubbock? So Texas Tech, Washington State?
Yeah.
And...
You don't even know the third team. Nobody does.
Oregon State. The Beavers. Yeah. Good logo. Cute logo. The Beaver.
Mike, if Stanford can be in the ACC, Texas Tech can be in the Pac-12.
You betcha. So it's a 12-pack with three teams? Wow.
Actually, it's Texas State. I'm sorry. I wrote
that. Wait, hold on. Now that's the team that Kathy Ireland kicked for. Sinbad played for along with Scott Bakula.
Yes.
And was coached by Carl.
Yes.
Say it with me. Robert Loggia.
My fault. I wrote down my. That's
Please,
my,
Day-Day.
My
how
bad.
Dare you miss
Either first way, time. It goes.
Hold on. By the way, one of my favorite scenes in that movie. Remember Loja at halftime? Let's analyze what's been working. Not a GD thing.
Right. So my bad. Texas State. But anyway,
clarification. The movie, that's North Texas.
Right.
That they actually, the movie.
Yeah, that is North Texas, yes.
Unnecessary roughness, right?
In real life, that's North Texas. That's Mean Joe Green School, for those who may or may not know. Texas State is in the central of Texas, and it is a different school. It was at one point called Southwest Texas State, but now it is Texas State. Go ahead.
All right, so yeah, man, no man. Glad to see the Pac-12 is battling to stay alive.
You betcha. With a university, Carl had to take a minute to explain which one it was, because most of the thing, it is the school that Kathy Ireland kicked for in a movie. Yeah, I mean, viability, I don't know, man. I mean, like, here's the thing. Whatever happens if Georgia State has to make that kind of a decision to go crush, that's where the budgets get out of control as far as the cost.
Travel.
Yeah, for everything else, not just football.
Well, look, everybody's looking for help, man. I mean, like, you need that connection to I was about to say a big-time conference. A conference.
A conference.
Right. I don't like this.
Yeah.
Day-Day, I'm a traditionalist with this, man. Right. Look, college football is still regional for me. It's why I love the SEC. Auburn, Alabama, Georgia, Florida. We're familiar.
Right.
Right? It's what we've grown up on. And I think for a lot of people who take that for granted – I think there's a section of the country who doesn't believe that college football, and I think a lot of people in the South believe this, it's not as important in the Midwest with the Big Ten fans. It is. Maybe they're not as passionate, but it is. And it was a big deal in the West, on the West Coast, with all those Pac-12 schools that, you know, the,
see, I disagree. I think Pac-12 don't, they don't get it out
the,
there, man.
The demise of the Pac-12, yeah. right? When you take those schools and you move them to the Big Ten, it just is different. So I'm a regional guy. I love the fact that college football, it should be, and I feel like we've lost that. Right, it's a regional thing. I don't like this, even if they're trying to survive, and I understand the economics of it.
Right.
But at the end of the day, Mike, it's easy to sit here and say that when Oregon and who was it? Washington, all those schools, yeah. USC, yeah. they go to the Big Ten. And that was all about money, right, at the end of the day, and it destroyed what was a really good regional conference.
Well, yeah. I mean, but talking about all, now that we figured out the right school, Texas State, Day-Day, that does impact but that does impact both Georgia State and Georgia Southern. They're part of the Sun Belt.
Yes.
Sun Belt losing a school. So that, I mean, I don't know if that, you know, helps them as far as, you know, what footprint they had in the state of Texas. We also with the markets and all that, and then it matters. I'm with Carl. To me, the first step in all this crap is when Nebraska stopped playing Oklahoma. Remember that?
Yes.
You know, when that thing went south, and then Texas A&M, it also, that was probably the one of the bigger dominoes. Nebraska in the Big Ten didn't make sense then, don't make no sense now.
Right.
You know, and the old Southwestern Conference that we love, Carl, the Big Eight, you know, all that stuff. It just, it's a guy's in their cars like a friggin' time capsule. Who's even those, it was in those conferences.
Right.
It was the greatest football. Keith Jackson and Frank Broyles on the call, Carl.
Yeah. And that's, again, those are the, that's that regional thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's all interchangeable cross country.
Yeah. And so therefore I dislike it. But like the ACC, we're joking about Stanford and
Cal. Right.
SMU came in and kicked everybody's butt.
They're trying to survive.
Yeah.
And that's really what this is about at this point. And it has nothing to do with the regional stuff that we grew up on.
All right. Last one before we get out of here. All right. So I got an alert yesterday from my bank that somehow TikTok was trying to charge me $19, right?
Fraud!
And I've never even used TikTok for any type of... So basically, you know, they shut my card down. You know, I told them it wasn't
brutal.
Me. Yeah,
right.
I'm not tripping about that. But it just got me to thinking this was one of the reasons why I am not a fan of all these businesses, because even out right here in Conley Square, a lot of the restaurants are cashless.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, this is one of the reasons why everything should not be digital, right? So, yeah, man, no, man, all businesses should carry cash option payment forms.
Well, we even have had this conversation here on the show before. I mean, it's the way of the world now, going with the credit. I mean, everywhere you go. And, you know, Carl, your dad and my dad, we used to joke around. A man should always allow for inflation, $50 to $100 cash out at all times. Not the way of the world anymore, though. Everybody's taking the card. Even parking lots now.
Yeah.
You know, you can just Venmo it right to the dude or whoever
it was. You can just scan your phones, right. Scan the little code, and then, right.
Yeah, look, I don't like this either.
Yeah. I'm with you.
I don't like this either. Cash is king, okay?
Yeah.
Look, I think it's nice when, and it's crazy. Have you gone in somewhere and literally you pull out cash and they're like, we don't accept that.
Right.
And you're like, oh, all right, well, okay. Then you go into your cards, right? Mm-hmm. You're like, okay, here you go ahead, take this. It is just, it's weird. I do agree with you, but to Mike's point, we're going away from that. Guys, we are literally a few years away from them scanning your eyes, okay?
Right.
I'm just being real with you. Like, you're going to walk in and be like, you want to purchase that? Bloop, bloop. Either you have enough credits or you don't. Like, that's where we're going with this. And the scary thing is, you think people in your bank accounts now.
Right.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. The last time I used cash would have been in New Orleans at Ryan's, little dive bar.
Mm. But you know what?
Because, you know, cash, because they had the bucket, and right.
Who goes in, and I know many of you are listening right now, who still goes in the convenience store to pay cash for your gas?
I do time to time. So I'm the type of person that I like to take cash because I like my accounts to stay, again, I don't like swiping all the time.
Yep.
So I keep cash on me for that gas. You know, just the little small things, right? Because I'm telling you, I am terrified of the day. You guys, it happened with the whole airport systems, right? When the airport shut down.
Yeah.
Worldwide. Guys, if we go completely digital and these hackers get in there and they shut down the banks,
Everybody's going to lose their mind.
It's Fight Club.
Yeah.
We'll go back to zero, Carl.
Yeah, everybody's losing their mind. You're absolutely right.
You know?
Yes.
So that's my yeah, man, no, man. Keep some cash options available.
Yeah. Day-Day says put it in a mattress under your bed. That's safe.
You're not lying. The airport was teetering on destruction the day that everything shut
you
down.
You and I, every time Carl and I fly, Carl's heard me say this the other day a million times. Like, remember the time we had the gas, the pipeline from Louisiana broke? Buckhead? you couldn't get gas at the Shell station. Buckhead Bettys in their Range Rovers. I mean, society's hanging by a thread. And it just takes one little push, and people just absolutely lose it. And it's dogs and cats living together, man. Watch out.
Let people not be able to access their money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously. Day-Day, great job, man. Happy Friday, everybody. It's Dukes and Bell. We're coming back. We've got plenty more to get to. Speaking of getting a call from your bank, I got to tell you something because it happened to me, and you're going to laugh at this because it has to do with something in this building.
Oh.
I'll tell you about that. We'll talk some college football. Steve Coonan's on the way next.